chapter number 2. Chapter 2 of Nehemiah. And we know a little bit about Nehemiah. He was an important man, important in the Bible, important in the kingdom of Persia there at the time. He was the Bible calls him the cupbearer, but that doesn't mean he was just some nobody who had the distinct honor to taste everything and possibly die if the king was being poisoned. That I'm sure it was part of it, but he also would have had exhibited great leadership skills, and we know through the rest of the chapter, very intelligent in his engineering and feats of leadership and so forth. But he loved the Lord. He loved God. He had a great desire to see God's people and his land be honored and preserving to the Lord. So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 2. We'll look at chapter 1 in a little bit. But he was before the king one day. He had heard some bad news, and we're going to read here about that in just a minute. But he heard some bad news and went before the king. The Bible says he was sad. Let me see. Verse number one. Let me just read this. Verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. We're going to stop right there for now. But what we're looking at tonight, the prayer secret we're looking at tonight, is prayer's instant messaging. Prayer's instant messaging. And that is the emergency calls to heaven. Has anybody ever made an emergency call to heaven? I think we all have done that. In fact, sometimes we are guilty, or maybe we're more prone to doing something like that instead of what we should be doing, the normal time of prayer that God talks about in his word, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But we want to see there is teaching and certain examples in scripture about the instant messaging, or what we'll call brief prayer, that God blesses and God honors when we bring it to him. I think it's based on that brief prayer, and the way the people in scripture address the Lord is based on how they see God and know God at the time. And we'll see that as well in some of the examples. But that helps us as we go about our business, that when things happen, we know God's power is still available. Amen? When you're not able to just pull off to the side of the road or take that time alone with the Lord, and we'll certainly need to do that. But there are times when we cannot do that, but we need to pray. Let's go ahead and ask God. Speaking of prayer, let's ask God to help us, and we'll see what he has to say about instant messaging, prayer's instant messaging. Heavenly Father, help us now tonight. Help us, Lord, to grow a little bit more in how we communicate with you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and the examples that you show in Scripture. Now, Lord, help us to obey you and do what you say and realize that your way is the best, and yet sometimes in our own spirit, you express that through the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, you would use this time to help us grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Emergency calls to heaven. Go to chapter 1 there, if you would. Take a look at verse number 4. Well, let me start with verse number 3. He got a message back from Jews that had been in Israel. They had escaped, as the Bible says, the captivity, and word got back to Nehemiah what it was really like in Jerusalem specifically. It says in verse number 3, And they said unto me, The remnant that are left on the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's start with this thought. Brief prayer is different than regular times of prayer. Brief prayer is different than regular times of prayer. Here in chapter 1, we see a regular time of prayer. That is that the time that Nehemiah had to dedicate to reaching out to God. And that's the thought here in letter A. Regular prayer dedicates time and focuses at God's throne of grace. God's throne of grace. We have some passages here we can help to help us out, learn about what's going on here. Mark chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. Who would like to read that tonight? Mark 9, 28 and 29. We'll start up here with Vicki. Thank you. And then, how about John 20? No. Hebrews 4, Trenton, Hebrews 4, all right? Verses 14 through 16. Verses 14 through 16. Thank you. Very good. How about Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 33? Luke 10, verse 30 to 33. Isaac's got that. Thank you. Then we have 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 12 and 13. This young lady right here, faith. All right. Then we have a couple others here. Matthew 15, verses 22 to 25. A bit of a passage there, but somebody could read that. Matthew 15, verses 22 to 25. All right. How about Kim? We'll take that. And then, Doug, if you would take Luke 23, verse 42 and 43, please. And then we'll all reach, go to the other ones when we get there. All right, regular prayer. Regular prayer dedicates time and focuses at God's throne of grace. Mark chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. Give us some thought on this. Okay, thank you. So this was a father that he was talking to, Jesus, and we've looked at this example a few times. When Jesus came down to the disciples and the multitude was around him, this father was pleading with the disciples to cast out the devil that was in his son. It was killing him. It was throwing him in the fire and the water and so forth, and it was a tumultuous time for their family. And he was begging them to cast the devil out. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Then Jesus came down. What did he do? He cast out the devil just like that. Of course, he's the Son of God. But what was he doing before that? Anybody remember what he was doing before he came to the multitude? He was fasting and praying. He had spent time away from the disciples in prayer. He had put the time and effort in that, focusing on the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 tells us we can do that too, verse 14 through 16.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help.
Okay, thank you. So that throne is available 24 hours a day, but God says, come to me. Because Jesus is here, because Jesus represents you as well, come to me. Bring your requests, your praises, your confessions, your thanksgiving. Bring those to me. And in regular times of prayer, that's the desire that God wants to hear from us, and we should want to share with him. Amen? Well, we should want to share with him. For example, you know, the song, I Come to the Garden Alone. We've sung that before. The writer of that song, he mentions or he talks about the time when John chapter 20, verse 11. Let's go take a look there. John chapter 20, times when there's despair, there's difficulty, we can come, as he says in the song, to the garden. Anybody want to guess which garden? John chapter 20 talks about. It's the garden that was near Christ's tomb. The garden that was near Christ's tomb, which by all accounts is not necessarily near the Garden of Gethsemane, but he was crucified near a garden. He was crucified and buried near a garden. We can look at and consider that that's where they were, at this garden. In Israel, that conservative historians, Bible historians, have pointed out that the garden tomb can't be far from the cross, but the problem is where they say where the cross is different than where the Catholics, for example, say. They have a church that they say is where Jesus died and was buried, at the same place. They call it the Church of the Open Sepulchre, I think it's called. But when we were there in Israel, and I think the Thompsons and the Helmicks saw this place as well, gorgeous gardens. And they said right over there would have been where the place of the skull. And as you looked at the side of the hill, it seems obvious that looked like a skull. Even after a couple thousand years, regardless of where it was, they were in the garden. And let's take a look. John chapter 20. I'm in verse number 11 here. Let me start with verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Wow, wouldn't you like to be there that day? Instant change in the day. She went to the tomb to bear respect, to mourn, to weep, and instantly it changed, didn't it? Changed from weeping to joy. And that was because she took time to go see the tomb, to spend time in honoring God and Christ in that way. Another example, God, simply put, desires us to become experts, that's the blank, experts in regular prayer. He desires us to become experts in regular prayer. Hey, I know how to talk to the Lord. You know, sometimes you have family or friends that will say, would you pray? Would you pray for this? And why do they ask you to do that? Because they know you will. They know that you will pray, and that there have been times when you prayed, they saw God answer. And the reason is because you know God, amen. But not only that, because you've spent time with God in prayer. You know how to reach heaven's gates and his throne and ask God for things that he desires to answer. That's a blessing. I'll never forget, it was a Sunday night. I was walking out the door. This was 10 years ago. And my phone rang. It's very unusual for my cell phone to ring on a Sunday night, just about the time we were getting out of service. And it was my aunt. Her name is Patricia. And she was calling, she was crying. And I think I've shared with you, her husband had been taken to the hospital, but what had happened was he had opened up a grill where the gas had been on, as far as they could tell, for weeks perhaps. And the slightest spark just exploded in his face. And he died right there. She didn't know it at the time, but he had passed right there. And the first thing she said was, would you please pray? This is a lady who has given no indication that God is important to her. But she knew in the midst of a dark time, that she could talk to a Christian and say, would you pray? Be experts. And I'm not saying I'm an expert, friends. I'm just asking that God, I'm just sharing that God wants us to be so that it's normal for us. It's regular. Brief prayer, letter B, brief prayer presupposes God's proven faithfulness for the immediate need. That's the blank, the immediate need. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 14. We read about an immediate need, and I think if we were there, we would do the exact same thing. And if you know where we're going, you know what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 14. Take a look at verse number 29. That's where we want to go. Let me start with verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Let me stop right there for a second. How many of us would have said that to Jesus that night? Boy, things look pretty dark, Jesus. Why don't you come to me? I don't know if we'd say, I'll come to you. But he said, if it's you, will you call me out? Bid me come to you. And verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. That was an emergency prayer, wouldn't you say? Brief prayer. The need was immediate. And he knew who to call out to. And he's right there in front of him as well. What a blessing to have Jesus there. But do you know that Jesus is present with you tonight? If you know him as Savior, he's just as close as he was to Peter. Not in physical form, but certainly in a spiritual sense. God desires us, by the way, to become experts in brief prayer. In brief prayer. When we call out, how should we call out to him? Well, a good one is this. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Sometimes that's all the time you get before the other car comes across and you know he's coming. Or before you're about to fall. Or whatever the case may be. Sometimes that's all the time you get. But God says, I'm listening. I'm available. Don't be afraid to call out. Brief prayer. God desires us to be experts in it as well. Number two, brief prayer is called for in the sudden moments. Let's go back to Nehemiah. Take a look at chapter 2, verse 4 again. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Now remember who this king was. He was not just some guy that just had a little bit of authority. This was the king of the empire of the world at the time. On the earth, there was no more authority than his on the world at the time. So what a blessing to be Nehemiah, to know the God of heaven and creation, but also to know the king that rules the known earth in a physical sense. So he asked him, what is it that you want? What is your request? And he gave every indication that whatever Nehemiah said, he was going to get. And by the way, he did. He did. Nehemiah didn't hold back. But what did he do right at that moment? Let's take a look. For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Wow. Consider the two that he was talking to at the moment. He was talking to the king of the earth, but he felt it more important to talk to the God of heaven first. What did he pray? We don't know. We don't know exactly. Other than perhaps, like we read about Peter, would you help me? Would you help me to know what to say, etc. But it was brief. It was brief. So brief that the king didn't realize that's what he had been doing at the moment. But take a look here. The Bible talks about brief prayer is called for in the sudden moments. Some other examples in Scripture. Let's take a look at him. Luke chapter 10, Isaac's going to read for us verses 30 to 33.
Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Okay, thank you very much. We're not told in that parable that the man who was attacked, beaten, left for dead, we're not told that he prayed. But if it was you, would you have prayed? Would you send somebody to rescue me? I'm about to die, Lord, would you send somebody? The Bible tells us certainly unsuspected danger, that's the blank, unsuspected danger needs heavenly help now. So right before he had gotten beaten, he was attacked and so forth, which can happen in life. We don't want it, but if it does, God says, listen, I'm listening. Call to me. 1 Kings chapter 3, let's go there. All of us look at 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to look at starting in verse number 5. Another example when the brief prayer is called for. 1 Kings 3, I'm going to start at verse number 5. And this is not necessarily a dangerous situation, but it is a situation where God had a moment to open up to man, and the man's name was Solomon. What is it you would have me do? Take a look at verse number 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Solomon wanted to get this right. You know, the first thing I see, and when he's talking to the Lord, what's the first thing you notice about when he's talking to the Lord? I see humility. He was not a little kid. He was not a teenager. He would have been a grown man. But yet, in his understanding of where God is and where the people needed him to be, he said, I'm like a child who can't understand things. Would you give me understanding and wisdom? And did God answer that? We have a whole book in the Bible that much wisdom is gleaned from. Now, unfortunately, Solomon didn't end well. At the end of his life, he had strayed. The Bible says his heart, he gave his heart over to many of the wives and concubines and so forth, the women that was in his life. But certainly there's wisdom in Proverbs we can follow. Uncommon opportunity needs wisdom now, We just heard from a missionary tonight who asked prayer for wisdom, which we all could use, amen? We all could use some wisdom. And then 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and verse 13, face God.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Okay, thank you very much. Have you ever been through temptation? You realized it. This is temptation. And you said, God, get me out of here. That verse says that he will when you call him, when you ask him. Unforeseen temptation needs escape now. Escape now. I think I've shared before about my dad was a submariner, and he used to tell the story about submarines. And if you've ever visited a submarine, even when you're visiting and there's no other people there, it's kind of cramped. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Silver Sides and... is it Muskegon, I think, where that is? That's the closest one I know of. And very interesting to me, but yet cramped. And if there's an emergency, man, you better know where to go. And they do drills and they train and everything. And so they all know, you know, here's where we're supposed to go. But the designers of the submarine still realize that may not always work. So they made the escape hatches. There's two, at least on the one he was on, there was two, one in the front and one in the back of the ship. And they were as bright as could be, yellow and orange and black and all this kind of stuff. You couldn't miss them. That's the idea. You couldn't miss them. So in the event of an emergency, you knew where the escape hatch was. You knew where to go. Even if you didn't know exactly where that's going to end up, you knew where to go to escape. That's the only way you could get out, possibly, to live. God says, here's the way of escape in temptation. You come to me. You come to me. And many of us understand when you go to God in prayer in the time of temptation, guess what happens? That temptation tends to pass, and you see the way of escape. When we choose not to do that, temptation tends to linger, and we fall sometimes into the sin. God says he has a way of escape. Unforeseen temptation, perhaps. Brief prayer is called for. Let's go to the third point here. Brief prayer. Brief prayer is little in content, but big in power. Nehemiah 2, again, verse number 6. Take a look here in chapter 2 and verse 6. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Man, anything Nehemiah was about to ask, he was going to get. He was going to get. As they say, this was his golden ticket for the day. It may not ever happen again, but God used the moment and his prayer to God and asking his help to see these things happen. And by the way, this prayer, which ended up with permission from the king, helped who knows how many thousands in Israel later. Who knows how many? We don't know exactly what the population was. It wasn't a lot, but certainly gave them an understanding that God still loved them, still cared about them, still had a Savior for them. And it wasn't Nehemiah, but Nehemiah was part of the plan, part of the process in turning people to the Lord. They had great revival, by the way, when he got there. They began to work together. They saw great revival. They saw great attacks. But man, Nehemiah and the others, the priests and so forth, they turned their hearts back to God. They turned them back to God. Brief prayer. It's little in content, but big in power. Let's go to Numbers for a moment. Take a look. Numbers. Here's some other examples in the Bible of brief prayer that God answered. Numbers chapter 12. Let's take a look. Starting in verse number 9. In Numbers chapter 12, as happened with Moses, it seemed regularly throughout the time in the wilderness, murmuring went about. Sometimes it was the people. Here an example, in chapter 12, it was his own brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron. And the Bible says that they murmured against him, and God was not pleased with them. So what did he do? Verse number 9, let's take a look. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, that is Aaron and Miriam. And he departed, and the cloud departed off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And God did heal her, but by the way, he didn't heal her right away. He said, if she wants to have this attitude, we'll let her change that, but give her a week to be out of the camp. That's what it took. He gave him 7 days, just as the laws of purification and so forth called for when you were leprous, to prove that it was no longer there. But the truth of the matter is, what we're looking at here specifically is Moses' cry. He cried out to the Lord. This is the only prayer he said, the only one recorded for Miriam there. Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. He was grieving at the moment too. Right words need not be long words. That's the blank. Right words need not be long words. Here the Bible uses the word heal. Matthew 15, verse 22 to 25. Take a look there.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me.
Other parts of Scripture talks about her going to all the doctors and all the medicine people she knew and spending lots of money, and she had nothing left. And she had heard about God, she'd heard about Jesus, she went to him, and she cried out, Would you help my daughter? Help me now with the situation. Luke 23, I think I gave this to somebody, 42 and 43. Doug, okay, all right.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
All right, remember this guy on the cross right next to Jesus. He had heard about him. Maybe he'd heard before that day, but certainly while they were getting ready to be crucified, he'd heard the words about Jesus from people around. And his cry out to Jesus was, remember me, remember me. And that was what he addressed to Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus responded. What did he tell him?
Today.
Thou shalt be with me. His cry out of faith that God, what an amazing scene that Scripture shares with us that day. Heal, help, remember. The right words need not to be long words. Final thought here. Abiding in Christ and yielding to the Holy Ghost gives voice to the unction. That's the word. That's the word the Bible gives us. Let's take a look at these passages. Romans chapter 8, voice to the unction. Take a look in Romans chapter 8. What does the unction tell us? It moves us to do something. In the sense of God's answer. Romans chapter 8, we'll start there and then we'll go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 26 in Romans chapter 8. Here's what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now there is those that believe this verse refers to the, like Paul said when he was praying, he prayed in a heavenly type of language with God, and it was an amazing thing, but that is not what I believe it talks about. It's talking about a language that we don't hear, but it's a conversation we're not privy to, but the Holy Spirit is. And yet we can join that conversation in prayer. We can join that conversation in prayer. The point being, they say the Spirit, that's where the gift of tongues can be used in heavenly language. Scripture doesn't indicate that here nor anywhere else from what I see. But we can join that prayer in groanings which cannot be uttered. Who's the ones who can't utter them? That's us. Yeah, we're not the ones who can utter the exact words God is that can bring before God, but we can certainly pray brief out of fear or maybe out of need, etc. Let's take a look in 1 John chapter 2, and we read about how the Holy Spirit helps us bring the words before God. 1 John chapter 2, take a look at verse number 20 and 21. In fact, let's read those together before we go pray. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Here's where we read that little word, verse 20 and 21. Let's begin. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Here the Bible tells us, if we want to know and share the truth with God and anybody else, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's where that daily time with God helps. Amen. That's where the daily time with God helps. You begin to build a vocabulary as well as a walk with God when you're in His Word. And the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, shares through you those brief moments of need before God. Well, we don't have a brief moment, but we do have a moment. So let's go find a partner. Let's find a partner too. Let's go pray. Vicki, what do you need?
I forgot to ask prayer for Vicki Kane again, the one that we prayed for the one time. She had problems with her eyes, but now she